Here's D-Mac, Tyler Columbus, Mike Evans, and the man who'll be on the call of Sunday's game for Fox, Mark Schlereth.
GB's on.
Mike and Mark are generous enough, Tyler, to stick around for a little bit, and we appreciate an extended war room. Thank you to Brothers Barbecue. They're open tomorrow till 2, so you can pick up your smoked turkey, holiday packs, hot, fresh, and ready to serve. Hey, back to the running game just a little bit. I just want to talk specifically, Tyler, with you and Mark about this. Two questions. One, is it sustainable against other defenses what the Broncos did? And two, the Saints run a specific version of this, more with the guard pulling with Taysom Hill to convert on third and short, fourth and goal, all those type of things. We've seen it a million times. So one, is it sustainable, do you think, for the Broncos? And two, how exactly do you stop it?
It's a good question. Is it sustainable? It might last for a little bit until it's like anything else that comes into the league. When you bring the Wildcat, you bring something new that is really old back. It takes teams some time to adjust to it. I could see them having some short-term success with it. I think there are answers to it. And anytime, you know, if you can get inside of one of the pullers and blow it up, that's a very quick way to blow it up. I guess, to truly know whether it's sustainable or not, I would really have to know what it was that Vic Fangio saw that was from the 60s that he was trying to attack. And I guess I don't really know the answer to that.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, there will be, you know, obviously there will be adjustments. Like Tyler said, if you can, you know, smash the pullers, disrupt the pullers. Also, anytime you set the edge, and one of the big things about that is they ran a lot of fake power, boot keep game out of it. You know, whether right. they set up play pass, where they set up on the, front side tackle, or whether they got outside, which created half field reads for Drew Locke and made it, you know, a little bit more easy from a completion standpoint, which is smart coaching. I mean, that's what you do with young quarterbacks. And so, yeah, those are pretty easy to blow up too if you just don't constrict on the backside on the boot keep game and you work upfield with your shoulders square. So, you know, some of that stuff will be, you know, they'll have a plan for it. I will say this, just from a defensive line standpoint, one, they are big and they are very athletic, New Orleans is, and they play with an incredible rotation. They've literally got eight guys that they rotate through, and that's going to be great. One of the great matchups, by the way, Graham Glasgow's brother plays for the Saints. He's
How
a defensive tackle for the Saints.
I noticed that.
And he's been practice squad. He's bounced around the league. He actually played, you know, I mean, he played pretty well last week. He made some nice plays in the running game. So, you know, I was like, gosh, who's 95? As I was watching the coach's tape, I was like, and then I had to go look it up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at there. So kind of cool. But they'll have a plan to stop it. And I'm with Tyler. Anytime you do something new, you know, it's not only the new stuff that you have, but it's the things that you build off of that. And the next week, what do you build off of that? What's different? How do you present it differently? And can you create a couple of explosives building off of that particular run scheme that you created last week?
All right, Mike, I'm going to ask you to be a GM in a second. But just really quick with Tyler and Mark, we've seen the Saints just relentlessly do this with Taysom Hill. It's a great success. How do you stop it? I mean, how do you stop it when you know it's coming and it will be coming from Taysom Hill and the Saints?
What in particular are you referring to?
Power, third and one. They're lined up, yeah. Biggs, it's power. Well, you know the right guard is pulling. Here he comes, and Taysom Hill's at the goal line.
Yeah, it's the best play in football. It's why the Patriots run it all the time with Cam Newton down there on the goal line. When you've got a quarterback that is big and physical and can handle a short yardage situation, you get 11-on-11 football, and that's the dream. That's the dream. When you've got a running play that you can get a hat on a hat for everybody, they can't get you out of anything because you've got the numbers and their numbers can't outweigh yours. It's a dream situation. I mean, how do you beat it? Well, you just got to be more physical. You got to be more aggressive, and you got to win your job man on man.
It's hard though, Mark.
Yeah, one of the things that's hard is they get into kind of, it's the illusion of spread. So they get into big personnel, but they spread it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll get their fullback, you know, they'll get in a slot formation. So they'll get in a tight end formation, kind of heavy, with a extra offensive lineman on that side, tight end, and then they'll get it in empty, and they'll have their fullback over on the slot side. So let's say they're in a right-handed formation with an extra offensive lineman and a tight end. So kind of a west, you know, two tight end look, right? And then they're in slot on the backside with two receivers. Maybe it's a receiver, a tight end, and the fullback. And then they put the fullback in motion, and he comes flying across the formation at mock speed. And if you split it in half, you pretty much perfectly balanced it 5-on-5. And then all of a sudden, you come flying across there with your fullback, and now all of a sudden, you've got a 6-on-5, or with the quarterback run, you got a 7-on-5 matchup on that side of the football field, because they can't flow over there and cheat, defensively. So now you've got, not only are you playing 11-on-11 football, but it really looks like 12-on-11 football. Mm. And so it is really exceptionally hard to defend that play. It's what Baltimore has made a living on, running the football, and why they're so, why they've been so good running it. Mm-hmm. And, I tell you, it's a really hard thing. I mean, you're just gonna have to defeat a double team, slide in there and be a guy that makes a play. Really hard to do. Easy to say, very hard to do.
Okay. Mike, you're a GM. You're the Broncos GM. We're getting closer to the offseason. You're John Elway. Give me your priority list of what you're going to get done. Tell me how you're going to deal with Simmons, Bowles, Vaughn, and anybody else down the line, including where your head is at with the draft. Where's your head at?
Okay, yeah. Let's just kind of – I would approach Justin Simmons and Garrett Bowles about long-term deals right now, mm-hmm. and hope that you can get them to bite. If not, I would put the franchise tag on Bowles, and I would do my best to try to re-sign Simmons. You can't let these guys go, and all you get is a compensatory draft pick down the road. That would just be that'd be horrendous. Vaughn's gonna have to. Wait a minute, hold on. Can I talk about his money?
Ooh, well, I don't know.
Can I do it?
Sure.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're gonna have to. He's gonna have to play ball with the Broncos, and work out a team friendly deal. He can't come back on the amount of money that he's making. And if he doesn't want to play ball, then, see ya. Thank you.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
What is that dollar figure, by the way, guys? Where's your head at with Vaughn, what he'd have to take to come back with the Broncos? What is a pay cut?
What's he at now? Like 17, 18?
I thought it was closer to 20, but you might be right. You might be right.
All right. So I'd say half.
10?
Yeah.
8?
Yeah, I think 7, but somewhere between 7 and 8 with an opportunity incentive wise to make a lot of your money back.
How do you think Vaughn would respond to something like that?
He'd say, "See you later. I'm gonna go see what's out there." I think.
All right. Do you think he'll get offers that surpass that?
Well, I think he will get at least whatever. I mean, let's say we cut it in half, and that's the number. So let's call that number $9-10 million, something like that.
Okay.
Will there be somebody else out there that's willing to pay that? More than likely. Is it going to be more? I don't know. Maybe not. But bottom line is there will be somebody out there that will offer something that is competitive to it, and it more than likely will be with a team that is a contender. So if you're Vaughn, you have to cut your salary in half, yet now you've got the opportunity to handpick which team you're going to play for. I would assume he's going to handpick the best contender.
Well, Mike, I heard Vaughn say he wants to be a Bronco for life. If he wants to be a Bronco for life, there's an easy way to do it, right?
Yes, but you got to play ball with the Broncos. I mean, you have to understand where you're at in your career, the injuries you're coming off of, the state of the franchise. If it's important to stay, then you got to take the proverbial hometown discount.
Shouldn't, and I hate to say this, but shouldn't Elway take a page, at least a small page, from the Raiders playbook and just move on and just use that money other places and just say, hey, it's been great. We'll see ya.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I mean, if you could get Von Miller to come play for you, come back at half the salary, I'm willing to pay, even if that's more than what you probably should be paying him. I'm always willing to pay a lot of money for pass rushers. And so, no, I mean, it's not moving on from like the Raiders. That would be moving on when you've got value, when you're trading the guy, when you've got picking up commodity in return for him. At this point, you're not getting anything in return.
Yeah, yeah. You're telling me I can have Vaughn on a T-set?
Mike?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, no, that's not me. My daughter came in. Yeah, there's now a bird flying around in my house. Okay, there is a bird flying in my house.
We've got a bird!
And the women are freaking out right now.
You gotta know, we just had to dump your daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. That was my wife.
Well, that was your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
hey, tell Potty Mouth to lock yourself in the bathroom or something.
This has got to be a first in the 25 years of the fan history where we've had hit the dump button on one of the host's wives
multiple times.
It's I'm staring right now. Be. I'm literally staring at a bird who is perched out in my living room right now.
Is this a signal for you to go right now, Mike?
It's kind of like the squirrel in Christmas Vacation. We got to get out of the house now.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I'll let you go, Mike. Mark, can you stick around?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have birds flying around my house. And my wife isn't potty mouth. Gosh.
All right.
Did that come through pretty clear?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Maybe three or four times.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Goodbye.
Yeah. See you guys.
Wow.
That was
just when you thought you've heard it all. I have been in broadcast radio for 33 years. I have never ever heard somebody's wife or husband or any partner of any kind.
Right.
On the air, have to be dumped.
I'm in the kids studio over at the kids table, and I'm over here searching for the dump button, but I don't have one over here.
Right.
So. No regard whatsoever for whatever Mike is doing to allow them to buy the bird. No regard of it whatsoever.
And that was a wild bird, my friend.
Yeah, it's a wild bird.
Wait. Why is Mike bringing a bird into his house?
No, it was a wild bird.
They opened the door and the bird flew in.
Okay.
He's struggling.
Right. Woof. Well, it threw me.
Bird. Isn't there a story about the bird in the cuckoo's nest or something like that?
Yes.
Well, one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah, that's what I feel like trying to talk to Mike sometimes.
Yeah.
By the way, Richie has it in queue, and apparently this is causing massive chaos. And Richie, what's happening now?
I got one ear in both conversations right now, and there's still screaming. There's like apologizing, and then there's Mike trying to console his family, saying the bird is more scared of them.
Can we just eavesdrop? Like, forget everything. Can we just eavesdrop on him at this point?
I'm a little nervous, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Leave it alone. Yeah. All right. Hey, okay. Well, that took a left turn. Mark, what is the phrase that pays, or do you have one that we should listen to on the broadcast?
Well, I think we were just going to do can't hold your mud, which seems easy. But we didn't have anything better this week. We didn't really have a great phrase that pays.
Yeah, first false start. That one's a piece of cake.
Yeah, that one's a piece of cake, right? So,
what about something with the pulling all that stuff? Because that's going to happen, and you've got Packers video that you're going to run. I mean, is there something you could tie in with,
I did in the Seattle game for the Vandal crew. They gave me the task of baloney patch, to get that in the broadcast, which was easy. I knocked that right out. We've got the baloney patch in there. So, I can pretty much dump anything in there, but.
Now, have you been asked any questions by your producers about an odd word that has slipped in there?
No, they love it. My producers will give me something. Like, they'll give me just in my ear, like, okay, this quarter, you gotta get in, whatever. And yeah, I really only do this to entertain myself.
I love it.
So I'm constantly getting stupid stuff in that, and a lot of stuff just pops into my head, you know, so you know how I am. It pops into my head, out my mouth. So, and there are sometimes I catch myself where I have to bite my tongue because I want to say something that is completely, probably,
questionable.
Yeah, will probably won't get me fired, but would get me a talking to.
Mm.
Like, there would be a talking to. So I try to be careful about that kind of stuff. But
maybe you can reference some sort of what would be a fun town in Colorado to reference? Like, I haven't seen that since the fill in the blank high school pulled it off in 1962.
Right. Where's Cecil from?
Where is Cecil from?
Grover.
Yeah. Grover.
Yeah, Grover.
What
Grover.
If you could reference something about Grover High School in Colorado?
Well, what about where did Dalton Reisner go?
Wiggins.
I'm sure they ran that in Wiggins, but they don't run that. Yeah, Wiggins, Colorado. Grover, Colorado.
Wiggins, and then you've got the police lieutenant or Sergeant Wiggins from The Simpsons that you could throw in there as well.
Sure.
But something maybe with Wiggins or Grover, you know, as, you know, this is the place. Not Valor, not Regis, not Cherry Creek.
Listen, what's wrong with Valor or Cherry Creek?
I mean, Wiggins
now
and Grover.
Stomping on me.
Wiggins and Grover.
Right.
Well, Wiggins should be relatively easy, right?
Yeah, yeah. See, these just aren't, I don't know that these are challenging enough. There's got to be something, that's more challenging than, you know, referencing a high school, Wiggins or Grover. There's gotta be some, like baloney patch is something that you think, how the hell are you gonna work baloney patch in? Right? You know, something challenging, something that will, you know, that only our listeners here on The Fan would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said
All right, I got a challenge for you.
Okay.
When you mention Wiggins, say Dalton Reisner, or as Coach Fangio would say, Risner.
Ooh. Well.
Right. Yeah, you want to make it challenging, I can get you in trouble.
No, that's not it's just easy. You just mention it. I mean a phrase that's really how do you work that into a conversation? That type of phrase, you know?
All right, well, we're happy for suggestion. Grover plays six-man football now. Okay. Well,
Grover.
Right. Challenge. Paxton Lynch schmear campaign on the broadcast.
He already did it in the first game.
All right.
What just happened to Mike Evans was like straight out of like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. some like crazy Thanksgiving, just insane movie. That was epic.
And yeah. let me ask you this, Stink. Will you talk to Elway before this game or not?
No. We have meetings tomorrow morning with Fangio, with Drew Locke, with Shermer, and I think we're talking to Justin Simmons as well.
All right. Yeah. And last thing, an opportunity perhaps before we let you go. Would you like to say anything about Floyd Little?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know Floyd well, D-Mac, but Floyd is one of those guys that – I've always felt like every time I was around Floyd, you felt like you knew him. You felt like you were friends with him. You know what I'm saying? He just brought you in. And I've always believed kind of this mantra that I've imparted to my kids when they were little. I said, there's always two kinds of people in the world. Those who enhance your energy and those who drain your energy. And don't get involved with people who suck the life force from you. Be involved with the people who enhance your energy. And every time I was around Floyd Little, man, he enhanced your energy. He lit up a room. He was great to be around. He was a fun guy. And he just made you feel good. He made you feel a part of it, you know. And so my thoughts and prayers and obviously to Floyd and his family, just a wonderful, wonderful Bronco and just a better human being.
Mark, happy Thanksgiving, and have a tremendous broadcast. We'll all be watching on Sunday. We'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll try to hold my mud.
Thank you.
We're getting suggestions of how about Bird in the House.
Ooh.
We'll watch, Mark.
Rocky Mountain Oysters, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was insane. That was literally one of the craziest things that's ever happened.
I'm not going to lie. I actually tuned out a little bit to what you guys were saying to focus on what was going on in the living room.
Well, now you were eavesdropping.
I mean, it went from just slightly disruptful. Like, there's a little dog in the background. He's like, okay, we can deal with it. We don't even have to mention it. And then the screaming. And then the cursing.
Holy.
Do we have the listen?
Well, I'm curious what it sounds like after we dumped it.
Yeah, me too.
Do you hear the chaos or anything? I don't know if you pull that off real quick.
I mean, it felt loud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, trust me, for us in our ears, we heard it loud and clear.
Well, here's
dumped it, so you guys.
Here's what I know on the broadcast version of this show. Thank you for listening. You don't get the dumped out things. You get whatever you know. It gets edited out. However, on the stream. The stream, the dump button doesn't work.
Ooh.
On the, but it's different on the stream. There's different FCC rules on a stream. Now, we don't want to be all potty mouth on the stream on purpose, but it's just different. So when you hit dump, it does not dump out on what gets streamed.
Wow.
So if you were listening,
you're teaching them the loopholes.
If you want to really hear it unfiltered, but we don't. Dude, we might
well,
hit
you
the,
would have had to, you had to catch it live.
Yeah,
it
would, but we hit the dump button once every month. I mean, it seriously does not happen that often. But to have a significant other of a host be the person that we had to dump? I mean, think about the bizarreness of that combination.
I honestly thought it was coming out of Mark's house at first.
I did too because
I thought his family was coming into town. You know, they were back for Thanksgiving.
Right. I did too because I think he's got a squirrely little tiny little dog. That's right. What I thought I heard.
Right.
And he's got he's got grandchildren. He's got daughter. You know, I thought it was Lisa.
Sure.
Mm-mm. Mike.
No, it's Mike. Mike.
The funny part to me too is the disregard for what he actually does. Like, it's not like, hey, Dad's on the air, you know, with the whole setup and the headphones and all that. It's just like, we don't care.
Right.
We don't care, Dad.
I mean, they're probably just irritated that he was doing it in the middle of dinner, and you know, they just couldn't care less.
You know, I had to push it. We had to do one more segment.
You did.
Well, yeah, I thought we'd be.
You always push things just a little bit too far, D-Man.
And how about Mike too saying he's got to go like do shopping or something like later tonight?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you got it, and it's bleeped. So you got it, and it's bleeped. Sure. If you got it, and it's bleeped.
Yeah. If you're telling me I can have Vaughn on a team friendly and incentive. incentive-laden deal. Yeah.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, no, that's not me. My daughter came in. Yeah, there's now a bird flying around my house. Okay, there is a bird flying in my house.
You've got a bird!
And the women are freaking out right now.
You gotta know, we just had to dump your daughter.
Yes. Yeah. That was my wife.
Well, that was your wife?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
hey, tell Potty Mouth to lock yourself in the bathroom or something.
This has got to be a first in the 25 years of the fan history where we've had to hit the dump button on one of the host's wives.
Multiple times.
I'm staring right now.
All right. I hope you caught it live. If you did, well, that's great, Richie. You got it. That's hysterical. That's there you go. You never know when a moment is going to happen that really seriously will become part of broadcasting history.
It's live radio, fellas. Live radio.
And we just proved it. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
You know, Tyler, I'm almost afraid to have an honest opinion here. Because when I see Taysom Hill and I see the Saints, I look at this as such a winnable game for the Broncos.
You are unbelievable. I cannot believe you. Like, unbelievable. Seriously.
It's
you just can't get right. You cannot get right. Like, do you watch film? What film do you watch?
What film
do you watch? I swear, this is unbelievable.
I just
Miami, you're terrified of.
It's
a cakewalk against Las Vegas. Saints have got the third best defense in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah, this is a very you're right. You should have been afraid.
I think there's some phony stats going on about the Saints.
Okay.
Here's the biggest phony stat I suspect about them. How good they are against the run. Because I'm suspecting what's happening is teams are getting down and they're giving up on the run. Plus, the Saints played the Bucs and Tom Brady ran it like four times, which is going to skew your numbers massively compared to everything else. I think you can get them. I think you can get them with the run. I do. And I think the Broncos are clearly more committed to it than ever. And I think this is going to give them a shot, a real good shot. And I'm looking at Taysom Hill, and we're running a promo on the air about my Tebow 7-year manifesto. And it could work. It would work. But that is exactly who I think Taysom Hill and the Saints offense is. It's Tebow. It's Tebow reincarnate.
Oh, man. Taysom Hill is so much better than Tim Tebow. Comparable.
At
throwing the ball.
Not the deep pass. He sucks at it.
A completion percentage.
That's one game, dude.
I get it. So, I mean, you say he's not as good as Tebow. All you've got is one game. What I'm going off of
Tebow
here.
Tebow could throw screen passes
and they weren't throwing screen passes. Green passes, buddy.
What were they throwing?
They were throwing the ball 10, 12 yards. That's about it. And, they might have had one or two screen passes in that game, but.
Dink and dunk. Tebow could do all that stuff.
Okay. Taysom Hill is 10 times the player of Tim Tebow.
I don't think so. I think they're more or less the same guy. Now, listen, it can work. It can win games. And if teams don't know how to stop it, it could look bad. But, you know, it was funny watching that Atlanta game. First half, they were lost. First half, they couldn't do anything because they were trying to let Taysom Hill be like a real quarterback. It stunk. And then in the second half, they were like, forget it.
Dude, he was 18 of 23. He was as efficient as you could possibly be in that game.
Yeah,
seriously, he didn't have any balls that were misplaced. He didn't have...
Scored 10 points in the first half.
I got it.
10 to 9.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta defense sucks. I still can't believe what happened to us with the Atlanta defense. They are terrible. They are just terrible. And the Atlanta Falcons do not run the ball. I don't know why. They've got Todd Gurley. They don't want to run the ball. They want nothing to do with it.
Well, that's not true. They're like number 16 in the NFL at running the ball.
They don't want to. They're not committed to it. I don't know what to say.
What do you mean? Where do you come up with this stuff?
Because I've watched the game.
They're like 10 times more effective than the Broncos.
And then I saw the magic thing.
Okay.
The ultimate Tebow comparison.
Okay. Down there in the lower red zone?
They just want to run power.
And as they should. It's the best play in football. When you get down there in the lower red zone.
How do you stop it?
It's nearly impossible to stop.
Well, you should explain what it is.
Well, it's 11-on-11 football, and that's the beauty of it. You never get 11-on-11 football. When you run a quarterback, that's the only time that it's truly 11-on-11. Usually it's 10 versus 11. It's 10 offensive guys versus 11 defensive guys. You've got a hat on a hat. You can account for absolutely everybody. There's no defense that they can bring up that can stop you. You can get two lead blockers in the hole. It's an unbelievably effective play. And when they get down there, they're 10 yards or less. That's exactly what they should be doing.
Seriously, how do you stop it?
Well, I mean, you got to get heavy in the box, and it's just being disciplined. I mean, it's a tough play to stop, but
not easy.
There's no secrets. You just got to win your matchups.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
And that is right out of the Tim Tebow playbook.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's what it was.
I mean, the difference is Taysom Hill throwing the ball. He's effective and he's efficient. He's the complete opposite of what Tebow was.
Here's what I suspect we will see.
Yeah.
The Broncos will, I don't know, maybe they'll rush five every once in a while. This is how you defended Tebow. You just clogged up basically the short passing area. That's it. You clogged it up. And you dared him to beat you with real quarterback throws. And you just depended on one-on-one coverage. And you know what? Sometimes it did sting you. Most memorable was the throw to Demaryius Thomas against, you know, nothing. And he took it to the house against Pittsburgh, and they won in overtime like that. But in general, it worked against Tebow. In general, it did work.
Yeah, again, I just don't think that Taysom Hill is even remotely comparable.
How do you not see the comparison?
Because when I watched that film, I was blown away by what Taysom Hill did, actually.
Oh my God. He was unbelievably
efficient. He marched right up and down the field. He completed balls. He wasn't throwing the ball all over. He was delivering balls on the spot. I mean, dude, 18 of 23. That's a very, very effective day. D-Mac, I would kill to have a day 18 of 23 out of our guy.
One of those completions was a flutter ball that maybe ended 20 yards shorter than where it should have.
Yeah.
And the defender just kept running like he should have. And Emmanuel Sanders just hit the brakes and came back to catch the ball.
Yeah, that was an incredibly bad pass, an incredibly lucky completion. But it was one. It was one play. It was one play.
Oh, my God. When I saw that, I was like, ah, it's back. Oh, Tebow's back.
My
He's
gosh,
back.
Dude, this dude is not Tebow. But this here's dude what, is not Tebow.
Here's what they do have. Here's what they do have. They have a, I think they have a great offensive line. I'd love to
Heck
know
yeah,
what you
do.
Think. And they do have two really good running backs. Really good running backs with Latavius Murray and with Alvin Kamara, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's a tough thing.
Well, they've got a great offensive line. They've got a very strong rushing attack, number 8 in the NFL. The defense is what you should be terrified of, and that defense is the best defense we've played all year.
It is.
And it's not even
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a top 3 overall defense. They're number 2 against the run. I cannot believe you just said that there are opportunities to run against these guys.
We got to dig into those running numbers, but I suspect it's a little...
How many games did you watch?
Well, I really just watched the Falcons game.
Well, okay.
Because I'm watching Taysom Hill.
All right, well, that's fine, but I mean, that is definitely not an indicator of that defense or their ability to stop the run. I mean, they're number 2 in the NFL stopping the run.
But I think it might be some quirky facts. It might be some fake news.
God, where do you come up with this stuff?
I think we got some running back fake.
Where do you come
running,
up with
running
stuff?
Defense fake news.
Oh, my. All right. You tell me where the deficiencies are then. I won't do it. You tell me.
They have a very good defense. And if you're
How are you going to run the ball at them?
I think you do exactly what you did last week. You pull power against them and you try your best. You try your best with what already worked for you. You go in that direction. This is the interesting thing with that type of power football with the pulling guards, tackles, everybody. Everybody kind of knows what's coming. Like, it's really not that big of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can pull it off effectively, okay, here it comes. How are you going to stop it?
Well, it's... notorious for being a safer style of running the ball.
Yeah.
You should get 3 to 4 yards every single time
right.
you run it. Very rarely do you get 12 plus yards. So wide zone running is where you get your big boom plays. That's where you can bust one loose for 15, 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But when you try to grind it out with pulling guards, most of the time you're talking about a 3 to 5 yard gain, and it's not much more than that. So that's the pros and cons of it. It's a safe way of running the ball, but it's not a very explosive way of running the ball.
All right. Well, we're short this week because we're off, on Turkey
right,
Day tomorrow
right.
and Friday. So we got to do it.
Right.
We got to do it now. We got to make our predictions.
Sure.
We did it earlier, but we can do it again here if you missed it. And I got some good news for Broncos fans.
All right. Go ahead, man.
And we'll get there next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, Tyler, it's right before Thanksgiving. I, back in my FM radio days, did you ever watch WKRP in Cincinnati?
Huh? What? No.
No, doesn't ring a bell. Well, it was a TV sitcom about a radio station in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And the if you want something to fun to go back and watch with your family and catch up sometime, watch the Turkey Drop episode of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Where they were going to drop turkeys, and the turkeys were supposed to be fake turkeys that had prizes on them. And instead, in WKRP in Cincinnati, they dropped real turkeys. And there's some classic lines in it, and it's old time, old school. But it was a classic radio bit for years that radio stations would do their own turkey drops.
Okay.
Yes. And, you get everybody all hyped up and, excited and, how crazy it's going to be to drop turkeys. And then, of course, you don't drop real turkeys. You just.
Right.
But, there's a helicopter and there's thousands of people and, it's
fun.
Still. It's, supposedly, it's fun. I did it in Syracuse and the helicopter. And trust me, arranging all of it logistically with insurance and a mall and helicopters and. We had this huge area. This is in Syracuse. This huge mall parking lot,
yep.
Gargantuan, all blocked off. And in our turkey drop, when it was time to drop, and we had 2,000 people easy there. People were very excited for the turkey drop. We had little paper turkeys, and I had spent all night clipping, like, coupons. We didn't have enough prizes, Tyler. I didn't even have prizes. We had, like, 3 prizes and, like, 1,000 coupons. And I spent, like, just hours, you know, pasting the coupons to the little paper turk. We drop them out the helicopter. I don't think one paper turkey landed in this huge area we had blocked off. They seemed to just go.
You didn't have enough weight in them.
Not enough weight. Yeah, yeah. They went flying into neighborhoods across crowded streets. I mean, and people just went, like, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it actually became more dangerous for a different particular reason. But I always love Thanksgiving for that reason in terms of radio stuff. But I think we're into a different reality here. And we got a dose of it today in terms of the Raiders or the Ravens and the Steelers being canceled. So I'm curious what your thoughts are when we're kind of taking things for granted, but all of a sudden we realize a Thanksgiving tradition is not going to happen with football.
Well, I'm thankful that we've had as much football as we've had this year.
Right.
And it's really gone off without a hitch as far as the NFL goes. We've had to reschedule some games. The Broncos have had to do it. And, you know, this is the first kind of real significant one that has popped up on Thanksgiving that, you know, it's just it's a bummer that it's not out there. But generally speaking, man, I did not know if we were going to get football the way we have this year. So I'm not going to get hung up on this game getting lost. It was the right thing to do. They had to do it.
Yeah.
The Ravens have an outbreak going on, and right, there really was not a choice to be made here. But, you know, it's too bad that that game had to get canceled. But overall, man, incredibly thankful that we've had a normal football experience this year.
I agree. And I really admire Drew Locke when he had the opportunity today where he said that he was grateful and thankful that he is able to participate in what he loves, playing football. And he recognized how many people are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
It does touch, like, his family, because his dad owns, like, 7 restaurants. Well, that has got to be incredibly difficult. And he has tons of employees that work for him, and that's going to be a real, real struggle. So I just want to put a shout-out and good wishes out there on this Thanksgiving to the workers and people who have been impacted, and how grateful we are that people listen to us. And hopefully we bring them a sign of optimism and normality that at least we just can sit here and talk about sports. But I want to just take a moment to recognize everybody who's been impacted by that. And boy, do we wish you the best. And we'll be dedicated to being here to give you whatever escape we can during this particular time.
No doubt about it, man. I thought you said that very well. And I just second it.
And with that, I'm going to pick the Broncos to beat the Saints.
Nice, nice. Good for you.
I see a power game from top to bottom. Oh, see, you're picking the Saints.
Of course I am.
I think the Saints, it's a little, well, all right, I'll pick the Broncos to win 23-20.
Okay.
23-20.
Well, if they're going to win, that's going to be the type of game that they're going to have to win. It's going to have to be a low-scoring game, and our defense is going to have to show up. I don't think Taysom Hill is going to go out there and put up. I mean, shoot, what the Saints have done is offensively, they score 29.5 points per game. They're not going to do that with Taysom Hill. That's not what I'm expecting. Unfortunately, their defense is the best defense we have played, and it's not even close. So I got the Saints in a bit of a low-scoring game. I'm going to call it 24-17 Saints.
All right. And by the way, a little bit of a note if you didn't catch it. The Broncos-Bills game has been moved to a Saturday instead of Sunday. So not that it matters, I guess. I mean, nobody can go to the games anymore, but
right.
But still, it's a little bit of a Broncos programming note. Man, if they can pull this off, man, I'm pulling for this upset, and upsets do happen. Saints, you know, as an organization, as players, they never come here to Colorado. It's very, very rare. I guess I'm sort of hoping for an any given Sunday sort of scenario.
Sure.
We got the Chiefs after this, and nobody with a brain in their head can possibly even imagine a scenario where you're going to pick the Broncos over the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Well, listen, I'll give you this. If we show up offensively, we've got a good chance in this game because although I respect Taysom Hill a whole lot more than you do.
Hold on. It's not that I don't respect him.
Please. You said Tim Tebow is better than that
But
guy.
I was the author of the 7-year manifesto for Tebow. Like, I know you can win games with a guy like Tim Tebow or Taysom Hill. I know you can win games like that, and you can probably even be really successful if you're fully committed to it. It's just that most teams don't want to fully commit to it.
I'll give you this. If we put up 27 points or more, we will win.
Okay.
Because I don't think the Saints are going to score more than 24.
Can we score 27 points against that defense? We're going to need a little help there.
Yeah.
We're going to
we're going to need an interception or two from Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And some, you know, major field position
something.
Wins.
You're going to need something.
You're just going to, you're going to need some help there.
All right, my man. I want to wish you the best this Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
I hope you and your family have a great one. We have such a tremendous family around here.
We do.
With Richie Carney and our guy Chicken Fingers, Kevin Kistner. And just everybody here. We're incredibly grateful for you listening. And, man, it just rolls on. Nick and Cecil come up next at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.